This preview of the Kentucky-Tennessee Sweet 16 matchup is brought to you by KB Pharmacy in Marion. At KB Pharmacy, you can expect quick refills, excellent customer service, and convenient drive-thru service. Use KB's handy app, RX365, to have your prescriptions ready when you are.
Hey guys, it's Trace Darrington. I just want to come here and bring you a little bit of a pregame show for Kentucky and Tennessee, the matchup that we're going to see on Friday that really, I think the sports world is really talking about that as such a point of emphasis when it comes to this tournament. And I really think it's very special that we get to be in that conversation. So me and I want to give a shout out to Chris Evans first before I get into really anything else because he's allowing me to do this and I'm very blessed. So I just want to keep this train going. Hopefully that can do a couple more of these and we make it to the championship, and I can talk about that. So I'm very excited. I also want to give a shout out to Cole McKinney because he came over to my house and helped me a little bit, helped me get some final thoughts up that I could talk to y'all about and really help everybody understand why I think the game is going to go the way it is and some of the reasons behind that and something that we're going to look forward to in this game. So just really, I want to get really into that. So Kentucky comes into this game as a 4.5-point favorite, which I do think is a little much. I don't think that this game will get that far. You know, basketball at this level is such a game of runs. And I say that as like, as in scoring runs. You know, you have guys get in these 10-0 scoring runs, these 8-0 scoring runs. And I think that is so important when it comes to these games is not, it's not how many runs you go on necessarily. It's how big are your runs. And I think Kentucky really needs to find a rhythm. And when they go on these runs, you know, you can trade basket and basket for only so long before you need to break out in a run. So I think when Kentucky goes on the offensive side in this game, your run needs to be not even just those 8 runs. I think you need to have like 13-point runs, 14-point runs. And I think those are so important at this high of a level in this part of the tournament because if you don't have those runs and you just trade basket for basket, then it goes into now, how can these guys play in crunch time? How can they play if they get into foul trouble? We understand how the refs have been. They've not been fantastic, and I'll be the first one to criticize them because I'm sorry for stuttering, but they're just making me upset. And, you know, I get they have a job. I get that it's a hard job, but just some of the things that I'm seeing, just they're just it's really alarming, and I don't like it. So I really think they all need to come together and figure some things out in this, you know, off season that we have coming up after the championship. And I just really think they need to get some things together. But we're not here to talk about them. Here to talk about Kentucky. Kentucky comes into this game, you know, again, as a 4.5-point favorite. I know a lot of people like to bet. So, you know, I could see that line shifting. You know, I like to bet a time or two over there. So I might wait for the shift and see if that happens. But if it stays at 4.5 points, I might look elsewhere. I just think that is a little high. But at the same time, they got Tennessee as a favorite. That means we're the underdogs. And I love us as the underdogs because we have some dogs. You know, and I do think that Kentucky coming into this game, being 2-0 against Tennessee, I do think that should shift into the betting odds, but it doesn't. So I'm not going to hate on that too much. You know, let the betting people do what they do. But I want to talk about Kentucky first. I want to talk about our team. Lamont Butler has been playing fantastic. And I see him, I see his game, and I just love the way he plays. Because when I played basketball, I looked up to guys like Lamont Butler. And, of course, I didn't really know about him. Not many people of us did know about him until about 2 years ago when he hit a game in the, he hit a game-winning shot in the Final Four. But story for another time. But I watched some of these guys that are just so good, you know. And it just really excites me because it's a different part of basketball that not a lot of people talk about. So, and I think his defensive energy just radiates to some of these guys on our team, like Otega Owe, who I've seen, you know, be a solid defender, but take it up just a little bit when it comes to the blocks and the steals. I see him just make a little bit more effort here and there, even though he might miss some of them. And that's okay. As long as the effort's there, I'm willing to live with that. And I really think you see a lot of these guys like Andrew Carter. And shout out to him because he really filled out the stat sheet last game. And so did Amari Williams. I think those are two guys that they didn't talk about enough. And I just think they are such key pillars that you have to mention. You can't just talk about your guards the whole time. You really have to talk about these two veterans that have really put themselves in great spots to succeed. And they have done that. And they have succeeded for this team. So coming into this game, I really think about how is Kentucky going to plan for Tennessee. Now, you guys hear me pause a little bit? Mouth's a little dry, all right? Bear with me. I'm new to this, all right? So, Kentucky comes into this game, and the keys that they need to keys to victory is what I have this listed as. And I think it's so important that we come out hot and not so much as offensively. I'm not saying we have to come out and go on a 10-0 run to start the game. I'm saying if we come out with the same intensity on defense as we did against Illinois, I love our chances. If we come out there, get, you know, maybe two steals and like two blocks in the first like 4 minutes before that first media timeout, that I think that sets us up fantastic. I really think it puts into Tennessee's mind like they have figured out something on film through our games, through anything, and that they have found that something that we're doing is not working for us and it's going to benefit them because clearly it's working this early. And it will kind of throw them off their game mentally. I think basketball is such a mental game that people really don't talk about. They talk about Kobe Bryant and how great he was at the mental side of basketball. And I think that people really don't talk about that enough, and that basketball is so important that you have to have a strong head. And I think when we had that last game against Illinois, it was so fantastic because when we started getting the turnovers, we kept the energy up. And when we got those turnovers, we would kick out to a guy like Kobe Brea, who had such a fantastic game, and I'm such a fan of his game and him as a person. I think he is fantastic. And I really wish we had him one more. I wish we had all these guys another year. But it's for a story for another time. That's all right. But when we got those steals and we limited our turnovers, that's another thing I have for a key of victory for this game is the turnover margin. You know, and I went back and I looked at, okay, we beat Tennessee by 5 the first time we played them on January 28th. And we had 13 turnovers and they had 5. Now you're like, well, hey man, we still beat them even though we lost a turnover margin. So where is your point here? My point is when we go back and we even look at the game after that, when we played them at Rupp, we beat them by 11, which is double, you know, double by the amount of points that we beat them in the first game. And you look at that, we're like, we had 8 turnovers and they had 9. And you're like, well, Trace, it's a one turnover, you know, difference. You know, you won the margin, but it's just one turnover. Well, that one turnover could lead to a massive run that we go on and go on an 11-0 run and just blow them out of the gym. And so I really think if we can do that again, that just helps us so much. And, you know, I don't want to get into the defensive side too much because, of course, you got to put the ball in the basket. So another key for us is offensive rebounding. And I really loved what we did, the way Amari rebounded last game and the way Andrew Carr rebounded. They rebounded phenomenal, and I really think you have to give them credit for that. And even our guards got in there a little bit and rebounded, so I really think if we have that buy-in, all-in, on-the-board mentality, that we can really go farther in this game because we had some rebounding struggles early. You know, we didn't rebound great. I mean, we would get rebounds, but it was nothing that was very impressive. And, you know, of course, don't want to get into things too deep. Want to keep this, you know, a little bit shorter. You know, not too long, not like a podcast. But one thing I got to get into that Tennessee has been doing so well, a key for us that is so massive. I think it is probably, it's right there with defensive disruptions, but it might be number one. We have to run them off the three-point line. They are 21 for 50 in their last two games combined, which is, it's a little over 50%, which is very, very good. I got to give it to Tennessee. So, you know, that will help us so much in limiting their offense because they get so much offense from threes and they rebound the ball very well. They got a guy named Mayshak who has been rebounding at a very good rate. So I got to give that to him. And if we can keep him off the glass, keep them off the line and make them come inside, let them try to drive in and let us take some charges and do some things like that, then we could be very successful. And I think, you know, those three things right there, defensive disruptions, offensive rebounding, and running them off the line, I think that will be the key pillars for us to victory. Now, I get all those great things, but let me go into the things that will really hurt us and that I've seen a couple times this year. So one of the first things I want to do is stagnant offense. One of the things I want to talk about for sure is stagnant offense. And I really got to highlight that because we've seen it a couple times here and there. We get into these rhythms and then suddenly, you know, we make a dumb turnover. We throw it out of bounds. We do something like that. And then our next two trips down on offense, it's just slow. You know, we're not taking great shots. We're not getting good screens. We're not passing the ball well. We're making it a very one-on-one game when it's not that. It's a five-on-five game. So I really think that stagnant offense will be probably the biggest thing that'll hurt us. I think that stagnant offense and Lanier getting hot, that's my second point that I really think is so important, because Lanier is that guy for Tennessee. They put over $1 million into getting him out of the transfer portal. You know, hey, that's the number that I've seen, so, you know, feel free to rock with me there. If not, then look it up and tell me in the comments if it is right. But last number I seen, I believe it was a little bit over $1 million, maybe 1.2. They spent money to go get this kid because when he gets hot, he is such a dynamic player, and I think that he is very good at shifting the energy, which is the third point. I'll kind of mix that into here with this one. When Lanier gets hot, you see the energy from the Tennessee fans and the Tennessee team. It changes in their brain that, hey, this guy can lead us to winning these big important games, and he's done that this year. So we have to put that into their mind early that even if Lanier gets a couple buckets here or there, we've got to shut him down quick. We can do that. We can isolate him with a guy like Otega. We can isolate him with a guy like Andrew Carr or even Kobe, any of those guys. I'm very comfortable putting them on him. So I really just think probably the two biggest things overall in this game will be stopping Lanier. Lanier, through his last two games, I think it's around 40 points, give or take. I think it might be a little bit more than 40. He's had 40 throughout those two games against UCLA and then whoever they played in the first round. I think it was Wofford. Played them. You know, he had those great games. So it's like he's got to come to a halt somewhere. And it needs to be us. It has to be now. Because we are the team that's going to be lining up on the other side of him. So we have to stop him there. And then I really do believe that is the biggest thing. And then the biggest key to victory for us, it has to be defense. They say defense wins championships. You know, a lot of people overblow that and they make that the centerpiece of the way that they talk and all that kind of stuff. Of course, you got to score. And, you know, you really got to put points in the basket. And you got to do all these points on the board. I'm sorry. But, you know, I really kind of rock with those guys. And I do agree that defense does do that. So I really think if we come out with the same intensity that we did with Illinois, and I think it shocked Illinois a little bit. I don't think that they expected for us to fly around the way that we did and play like we did on defense. So I think that is so important. And it's something different for Kentucky. Usually when you hear about Kentucky, you're like, oh, it's a high-paced offense. They put a lot of points on the board and do all these things. I mean, we really didn't beat Illinois with a high. We didn't get into the 90s, you know, which we've seen a lot of Kentucky teams do, but not this Kentucky team. Now, they've done it a lot, which is great. But in this tournament, you really don't see a lot of teams get into the 90s unless you're Duke and you go play some team that should probably be JUCO. But that's a story for another time. So I kind of just wanted to wrap this up by saying I believe in my whole heart, or else I wouldn't be talking about this. I believe in my whole heart that we can beat Tennessee for a third time, which is something that you do have to think about it as we are playing them for a third time, because I think it is so special in this game of basketball that we get to see this team three times at this level in the Sweet 16. Such high basketball. High IQ basketball by two high IQ coaches. And that's one guy, Rick Barnes. I got to give him credit because I do think he is a fantastic coach. But you know I will always rock with Mark Pope because I think he's even better. He's the best coach in the country in my head. Should have got coach of the year, but hey, I'm not on that committee. If somebody from the committee is listening and want to put me on there, hey, give me a call. All right, my number is very available. You know, hey, gotta have my shout-outs in there, all right? Bear with me. So, looking at these, again, I just want to go over the numbers very quick. The first game we played Tennessee, we only beat them by 5. Look at that. Second game, we beat them by 11. And why? We shot great from the three-point line in both those games. We shot 50%. We shot 12 for 24 in both those games. You know, we didn't get to the free throw line as much, but we limited their three-point makes. We, in both games, really, I didn't even realize that until right now. In the first game, they shot 11 for 45. That's 24.4%. And then the second game, they shot 3 for 18, which is 16.7%. So we did great on running them out of the three-point line that time. But it's like, can we do it? My question is, can we do it for a third time? Can we not foul these guys? Can we get them off the glass? I think those three things right there is something that we are going to have to answer during the game, because I really think that the coaches will really highlight that. In both games also, we won the foul game. We had less fouls in both of those games, so we have done that, but can we do it again? And I think we can. So, you know, really, I mean, that's really, I kind of wrapped it up right there, but I just don't think you can put enough emphasis on how big this game is for both states. Eco, you know, because you can talk all the trash you want on Twitter, but whoever wins the most important game, they have the credit because they did what they were supposed to do when it really mattered. Yes, our two wins in the regular season are important, but this game is even more important because you're in the Sweet 16 and this takes you to the Elite Eight. And, you know, say we get a favorable matchup and say Purdue was to upset Houston, which I would be a very big fan of, I believe Kentucky can beat that team by 12. And you're like, well, Trace, that's not a great big number, but 12 in tournament is a massive number. I really believe we can beat Purdue by that much, and I also believe we can beat Houston by that much, but first we have to get through Tennessee. So, you know, I really just wanted to come on here and get these thoughts out of my head because I really thought that a lot of people should think about some of the smaller things that will be the keys to winning this game and the keys that will hurt us. So, you know, I really wanted to thank y'all for just coming on and listening here, whoever this may be. I thank you for your time. Hey, I messed up a couple times. Hey, just bear with me. I'm going to get better at it as time goes on. But these are just some of my thoughts. And if y'all thought that, hey, maybe I should bring up a thing or two there, just let me know and I will absolutely get back to it. I thank you so much. I'm going to give a shout out to Kobe Bryant. He's my favorite basketball player on this team. So let's go, Cats.